Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
The Lifestyle Show.
Selena McKenzie.
Talk.
Presented by Selena McKenzie.
And Kay and Nazli and Yagoda. Welcome, ladies. This is Animal Talk for our listeners. We have a complete hour of that exactly. Animal Talk, talking animals. We have our vet, Nazli Vendanki. Boom.
Good afternoon.
We have from AAA, which is fantastic. We'll talk about AAA later. Kay Millington.
Hello. Sorry. The volume was... I was thinking... No, the volume... Someone's turned it down and I can't hear anything.
Oh, no.
Sorry about that.
Is it better
now?
You
need to tell the person off before.
I will do. I normally check them, to be fair, but I didn't. I only checked...
Hello.
Hello. And we're going to hear from Yagoda Shalai.
Yes.
Have I said that right? Who does a lot of cranial therapy with animals.
Yes, I do. Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. We're going to talk about that later. But first, let's see what animal we have today. Should get this one, Kay.
I think I know
Animal
that
talk.
One.
Presented by Selena McKenzie.
You're not allowed to guess.
Yeah.
A dog?
Yeah. We think that could be a cat. Right, if you want to join in, and we have had, I will say, we've had a lot of emails already during the week, and I've seen a couple of WhatsApps come in as well already, so don't leave it too long, but if you want to ask our experts a question or join in with the conversation, here is how to get in touch.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
So, Kay, first of all, I want to ask how Archie is. Because we've been following Archie's story.
Loud.
Yeah,
noisy.
Well, he's a little bit chatty today, so...
you brought him in, but he's
upstairs,
had to go upstairs.
Yeah. He's doing very well. He's quite big now. So, yeah, he's very chatty.
It's this story that I saw on Facebook about you trying to get him onto hard food.
Yeah.
And him wanting to have his...
He just does not want to...
Oh, it's lovely. Tell the story. It's such a lovely story.
So what he did, he can go in and out of his cage and the door's open. So one day when I came in, he'd gone and got the syringes out of the desk area and he'd taken them back in with him. So I thought, right, I'm going to set a camera up and see how he's doing it, because it's not that easy. I didn't think it would be that easy to pick them up, you know, and to get through the door with them. So the next day I set up a camera and I just watched him do it, and it was so funny because he was like a little clown. He kept dropping it, picking it up, and in the end he got it. But the first time he was actually trying to feed himself with it. It was so cute.
So clever, aren't you? Clever.
Yeah. Really clever.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And when he talks, is he saying anything, or is he just gibbering?
Not at the moment. Just annoying.
He will. When we get him to come in here, we'll learn him how to say animal talk.
Yes.
Yay.
That'll be fun. And Yagoda, can you tell us a little bit about what you do then, this cranial therapy for animals?
This is a craniosacral therapy, and we are working with the nervous system. Animals and humans as well. But I love to work with horses and dogs also. And this is the balancing the nervous system of the animal to get them healthy and to get them back to this, you know, healthy state of mind, of body, of emotions.
I must admit, you've definitely got healing hands, because we were at a breakfast meeting together and somebody brought a little dog along, Missy, I think the dog was.
Yeah, it was Missy.
Catherine's dog, and she sat on Yagoda's knee, and she was just like, not even touching her head, just sort of, and Missy was like, just completely in a deep sleep.
That's amazing.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's working
really,
like this.
Really interesting.
But this is not in, you know, healing hands. You can mm-hmm. learn that, because it's a method you can learn when you know how it fluids in our body are working. So,
yeah.
And not only humans, but generally animals.
Yeah. So there's amazing. A science behind
yeah.
it. Yeah. Scientific.
Exactly.
That would be helpful at AAA then.
Yeah.
You might be there for quite a while, though.
Quite a few animals
yeah.
there at AAA.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't want to harp on about the heat, but obviously it is prevalent at the moment, and I know we covered heat stroke last month, but it is still very important, and we've probably got different listeners this month, so we just want to go through a few tips and checks. For example, Nazli, what's the best tip for checking how hot the pavement is so that your dogs don't get burnt paws?
Just put your hand on the floor, and if you can't handle it, then don't handle it.
Exactly.
Or take your slipper off and
yeah.
do it with your foot. But
and put a fur coat on as well.
Yes.
I mean, it's obvious, but people do tend to forget. You know, I still see dogs out in you know, at lunchtime, and you can see the dogs are in pain walking
on
the
so
pavement.
Hot, isn't it?
It's so hot.
I still get dogs in with literally open blisters on their feet.
Oh.
And what do you do? What can you do about
it? There's very little you can do.
Really?
Yeah. Because putting it under a bandage with this weather, because dogs sweat on their feet, it's just going to make it worse.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing we said last month, didn't we, Kay, that if you, obviously you want to take your dog out for a walk and your dog wants to go out for a walk, but do it either really early in the morning or
definitely.
Possibly late at night.
Yeah. And what other thing did we say? No dog's ever died from not going out for a walk.
Yeah, I'm
exactly.
sure they'll cope. I'm sure they'll
exactly.
cope.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then travelling with pets, car safety, obviously don't leave dogs in cars. Mm. We say it every time and it still happens.
Mm.
Restraints and harnesses. I mean, you have to have, I think, I don't know if you know, you have to have your dog restrained. They have to be in the back for a start, and they have to have some sort of restraint or belt attached to them by law.
Anything, it's by law, of course, but it's anything when they can feel safe.
Yes.
You know? And just, you know, cared a little bit, like, the cages are not so bad, because that's bad for people, because we have no, but no good feelings about the cages. But for dogs, especially small dogs, it's really nice to have it in the car.
I mean, unless you really have to, it's probably best not to take them in the car in August.
Oh, exactly. That's for sure.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And also, if you do put them in a cage, like those transportines, secure that or put it on the floor. Don't just put it loose
on
the back seat.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to move about, aren't they? Yeah. Pet-friendly travel essentials. I've seen that you can order those. They're like water bottles, but you can open them and there's a bowl at the bottom.
Yeah.
So, and it's cold, which I think is a really good idea. So you've always got water for your dog.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Advice for nervous travellers. This could be any time of the year, but can you get calming sprays, Nazli, for nervous?
There are calming sprays, there are calming collars, there are calming tablets, even natural ones. So we're not talking about, say, a sedation or something like that, but just natural calmers, and they work very well.
And presumably you can get them for cats and horses as well, if you have to travel with them, or any other animal.
Yeah, this is natural oils.
Natural oils, okay.
For calming the horse especially, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not good to have a nervous horse,
No, I know. Not at all.
Water safety. I mean, dogs do like to swim, but not all dogs want to, do they? But do you have to be careful, Nazli, in swimming pools? Are there any toxins in there that could harm the... I mean, they have to put a certain amount of chloride?
Yes. Chlorine. It's, other people
chlorine.
Have a salt pool. It's not so much the dog that goes into the pool once in a while. There's a lot of dogs that just are continuously in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or lying on the steps. And that will affect their coat. It affects their skin.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's difficult to stop, yeah, because you'll have the doors open and the dog is loose. So, but try to avoid that.
Mm.
And to make sure they can get out if they need to, because not all swimming pools is that easy to get out of. So you can get, like, the little ramps. on the side, you know, the floaty things, so just in case of an emergency.
That's a good idea. Yep. Very good idea. Parasite protection. Are there more types of fleas, ticks and worms in summer?
No, they're all the same, but the sandfly, the Fever thrombus for the Leishmania, is most active at the moment.
Oh, Leishmania. Not nice. Is there anything we can look out for? Can we get... Well, you have the collars, don't you?
You have the collars, you have the spot-on pipettes. There's also people that buy the citronella spray, and spray around their head. It's all good to prevent all that.
Yeah, excellent. We have a caller. We don't get callers that often now. We normally get WhatsApps. Good afternoon. Who's there, please?
Good afternoon. My name is Eva Maria. I live in Los Alcázares. And I just wanted to point out one thing because I'm a little emotional because we've lost Border Collie in 2000 when it was pandemic. She was 16 years old, but we brought her from Scotland. We're living now in Spain, and I know what the dogs are going through during the heat.
She
had problems with her skin when we brought her here, but we had a very good vet. But I wanted to suggest, because that's what we did to our Border Collie, beautiful girl. She died when she was 16 years old, but she suffered, so we had to put her down, and I'm still breathing, as you can see.
Aww.
Now, what we need in this hot weather, obviously, Border Collies, they need to walk a lot and run around. Scotland was a great place for her, but not Spain.
Mm.
But it was what we did. We bought little booties. For dogs.
Yes, I've heard you can buy the little booties.
Yes, and on different sizes. And we trained her to wear them, and she loved it. We walked along the beach, on the promenade. There was no problem. And I had a spare pair, my next-door neighbors, Spanish people, they have Border Collie, very similar marks, the same like our collie, maybe she sent her to us. So I gave them those booties, and hopefully they will be using it.
Oh,
and
that's really a good idea.
It is life changer for the dog, because I can see people have no idea. They're bringing Border Collies here for holidays and so on and so forth. Border Collies are very popular in Spain at the moment,
yes,
which is not a very good idea. It's not a good country for the Border Collies. We brought her here when she was already 14 years old.
Oh, bless you. Listen, thank you so much. I'm so sorry to hear about your dog, but thank you for the tip. It's a really good idea.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for calling
brilliant,
in.
Brilliant. You can get them any sizes.
Great
okay,
stuff.
Thank you.
You take
thank
care.
You.
Bye. Oh, it's heartbreaking, isn't it? We've all been there. We all know what it's like. It's awful. But I have heard about the booties. Yeah. I've also heard about putting wax on the paws. Does that work, Nasli? Like a Vaseline or something?
It does, but there's a special wax for that.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And I would just do the Vaseline. Problem with it is that everything sticks to it. Yeah. Plus, if you put too much on, it will suffocate the skin, and the dog can't sweat on its feet.
Oh,
so you're actually not doing the best thing.
Yeah. Okay. Pet-friendly summer foods. I like this idea. I like making popsicles and things like that. Safe treats like frozen banana bites or pet-safe popsicles. It says here, food to avoid during barbecues and picnics, grapes and onions. Mm. Well, yeah, you wouldn't really let a dog go for grapes.
But you never know if they jump up when you're eating something. You know, you have to be careful.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, and also those sticks from the pinchitos. Yeah, people put them on their plate and they leave them there.
Yes.
Yeah. And the dog jumps up and gets a pinchito. That's even worse.
Yeah. And I don't allow my dogs, I think I've said this before, to have cooked bones because they can splinter, can't they? So it's best not to let them have cooked bones as well. Well, events and outdoor activities. I'm organising a doggy disco, but I'll tell you more about that later. Grooming. Is it true that grooming is good for when it's hot, Nazli? Because
it's essential.
Down. Is it essential?
It is essential. All those animals, dogs, cats, rabbits, all of them.
And horses.
And yeah. Horses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If they still have their winter hair, they can't get rid of their heat at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so grooming is essential. Mm-hmm.
Which is why
the Furminator.
Melt.
There's one called the Furminator. Yeah. This is fantastic.
What is it?
It's like a special brush, but it's like it's made out of metal and it's quite, it's not sharp as such, but it really does pull all the extra hair out, and you can do it quite quickly as well, and they seem to like it. So there's them, and also the glove, just a normal glove that you put on.
Like a rubber glove.
It's almost like stroking them.
Yeah.
So they don't really, the ones that don't like to be brushed.
Yeah.
Especially cats, not all cats like to be brushed. I use the glove, and it's fantastic.
Great.
Yeah. Also depends a little bit on the length of the hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's too long, then the Furminator doesn't really do it. Yeah.
Right, so
get
short
the combs and things, the special ones, yeah.
Okay, well, we need to take our first advert break, but we'll be back on the other side.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
I'm not going to be cruel and ask you go to what that is, but you two ladies should know by now.
we're like, it's either the one or the other, so I'll say penguin.
I know.
Penguin or capybara.
It was penguin. Well done, well done. We've had a few, but I want to get this one done pretty much straight away because it's on a separate computer. So, good afternoon. I'm Pauline. I've had a rescue Rottweiler for 4 years. He has leishmaniosis. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Initially, his level was 4.2. Over the years, it has dropped to 1.2. However, it has latched onto his eyes. One eye had to be removed last year. He has allopurinol. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying here, Nazli.
Yeah.
Allopurinol daily, and has had 4 or 5 courses of gluentine. He has had an eye drop prescribed by the ophthalmologist daily, made just for him. Also Maxidex and Optiben drops. He has about 30% sight in the remaining eye, and I really want to save this remaining eye. Do you have any recommendations?
I think you're doing the best you can do. Yeah, I don't think there's anything to add to this protocol.
If that's what the ophthalmologist has advised, good advice. I hope that helps, Pauline. Don't feel bad because there's nothing more you could possibly do. It sounds like you're really, really looking after him. So good on you. And I have some good news that came in this morning. Sweden, I'm going there in a few weeks' time. Sweden has officially become the first country in the world to go 100% cage-free for egg-laying hens.
Oh, that's
Yay!
Fantastic.
Yay! Big round of applause. Woo! That means it will free 17 million birds from a life behind bars. No more cramped wire cages, no more standing on metal floors, just fresh air, open space, and the right to be a chicken.
That's fantastic.
Let's hope the rest of the world follows suit, eh? That'd be good.
We hope so.
Right, now, I don't know why I wanted to ask you this. I think somebody asked about it, Kay, about bathing cats. Should you bath cats?
Yeah, we
cats?
Had an email, didn't we?
Didn't we? I will find the email.
Quite a lot of people ask me this. Generally, I wouldn't recommend bathing your cats because not only they have their own natural oils, and if you look after them properly and you brush them and everything and they eat the right food and they've got good fur, then you don't really need to. However, there is times where you might have to bath your cats or kittens. For example, if we get kittens that are too small to put anything on chemical wise, sometimes, you know, we do have to bath them. But normally fully grown cats, especially rescue cats, I would not recommend bathing them because of the stress that it causes as well.
It's not natural
and there's
them,
many times where, you know, you might have a cat in and it's in a really bad state and it's got oil or something and it does really need to be washed. But other than that, I wouldn't recommend, although I do every year, my cat goes for a little beauty salon thing and she enjoys it. But it's because she's too fat and she can't clean herself properly.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Nazli.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I wouldn't really recommend doing that, no.
Right.
Cats have a natural fear of water.
Yeah.
That's understandable, isn't it? It's not like a dog. Do you work with cats, Yagoda?
No, not that. I have quite no difficult. I know the possibility, and I think it's exactly.
It probably gets scratched.
It's not so easy as dogs and horses.
No, of course.
But you
not.
Could try. You could try.
I would like
might
to
have
try.
To kidnap you at some point to meet all the cats at the cat house.
Yeah, triple.
I would like to try.
That would be lovely. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, okay. Brilliant.
Ooh, really,
watch this space. Yes.
I'd love to. Yeah,
I'd lovely.
Let me know. And it was Terry and Mioka that asked that, and he also said, "Should I brush my cat's teeth? If so, how often?"
Again, Nasli, this is better for you, but it's a bit stressful unless you go to the vets, isn't it, really, and have it done properly.
And they have really, really tiny teeth and molars, so you don't really have like a good surface to brush on. Plus, they're incredibly sharp, those teeth. And I think it causes more stress than that you can get done.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
They do chews now as well. Yes. Like, you know, the dogs have the chews. They do have the cat ones now.
Yeah.
Okay. I've even seen them in the supermarket. They're probably not the best quality, but they've started to think about cats a little bit more because cats have a lot of dental problems.
Do they?
A lot, yeah. And especially rescue ones that have been in the street and they've had viruses and stuff like that. They do have mouth problems. So if your cat has got any mouth problems, the best possible thing to do is to go to the vet and they can be checked properly under sedation.
Yeah.
Do you agree with brushing dog's teeth? That's different.
Absolutely.
And how often?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day.
Blimey,
every day.
I'm a terrible
Why
parent.
Not? They eat every day.
Oh, crikey. Okay. Note to self. Okay. Something else you wanted to mention, Kate, is about material muzzles.
Yeah. I say this every year, but I feel like I keep having to repeat it because there's basically types of muzzles. Like, if your dog has to wear a muzzle for whatever reason, if it's a potentially peligroso dog or whether, you know, it has problems with other dogs or it's eating things on the ground, the material muzzles are not actually for that. They are restraining muscles. They are for when you go to the vet. You shouldn't be really using them more than 5-10 minutes to restrain the dog. The problem is the dog can't open the mouth properly and that's how they cool down.
Yeah.
And I've seen loads of people this year with the dogs, big ones, with the mouth fully closed with the material muzzles.
Oh, that's just cruel.
And you know, the thing is, I don't think it's not their fault. I think they genuinely don't understand that is not for that. And we've spoke about it in the past, haven't we, Nasli? Yep. You've had, you know, dogs that have come in. And it's okay if your dog might bite the vet. Okay, this is perfect. But to go on a walk in the heat, it's very dangerous and they can pass out, can't they? Because they can't really open the mouth properly.
Develop heat stroke.
Yeah. Very dangerous and, you know, people need to
as
know
long
this.
As you get the ones that are all open.
Yeah, the basket muzzles and Baskervilles and things like that are fantastic. Yeah. You know, they can even drink with them.
Yes.
But the material ones, really, they are not for that kind of thing. They're not for taking your dog out. They're not for, you know, the PPP dogs where they have to wear one. They should have a basket muzzle, definitely.
Mm. Especially in August.
Yeah.
When it's so hot.
Yeah.
When it's so hot, yeah. And was there a cat lost in Diana Park because of the
cat? Yeah, we have actually. I'm going to post it on your page today. We had a person that had lost the cat and they came, a friend came to collect it and they unfortunately lost the cat because they went somewhere afterwards and didn't go straight home. So what I wanted to repeat to everyone again is if you are transporting your cat to the vet, from a shelter, from anywhere, first of all, you need to make sure that you transport box or bag. I'm not a massive fan of the bags, to be honest, because in the heat as well, they can get very warm. But I prefer the proper boxes and also always a cable tie the four corners. You can, there's usually the good ones should have two little holes to put cable ties in. Always put cable ties in there. They cost nothing when you're in the Chinese shop and it saves your cat. And also I cable tie the actual door because some people are tempted to open the door. And this is exactly what's happened. And unfortunately, this poor cat's lost now in Diana Park. So I will post on the page about that. If anyone sees her, I'll put the poster.
Like,
yeah,
put picture.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a tortoise shell and she's quite frightened as well. So.
Yeah, so she'll be hiding.
Yeah. But, you know, people feed cats around, people have cats, you know, they might see her in the garden. So today I will definitely post a picture and the contact telephone number.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But I can't reiterate enough to people how much you need to be careful to and from, you know, people have, cats have escaped in the car. It's so dangerous.
Yeah.
I've even seen people coming in with cats in their arms, like to the vets and stuff. You know that, Nosley.
It's so dangerous.
Well, they can just jump out.
If you have an accident in the car and your cat's inside, free.
Or even if the cat just jumps on the floor and then jumps to the driver's side, goes on the floor there, and you have to choose between killing your cat or killing someone on the road.
Yeah,
just don't do that.
I won't say the answer to that for me.
We think we know. Sorry if you happen to be walking back.
Sorry about that.
Right, I want to know what events AAA do. Some great events, obviously, all to raise money for the great work that they do. But I also wanted to just read our AAA Dog of the Week out.
Fantastic.
Which we always get from Lynn. This week we have Clyde, who's 4 years old, a very handsome white and black bully dog. His shoulder height is 58 centimetres. He's very friendly, and his hobby is pulling on big ropes. So if you're interested in training for Iron Man, then Clyde will love to be your training partner.
He's a lovely dog as well, so.
He is. So you can see him in action by going to their website, which has all their information on there, AAAMarbella.org, and his reference number is 29076. So what's coming up then, Kate?
Right, so it's not for a while yet, but even myself last year left it to the last minute and actually couldn't go to our own gala because we didn't have any tickets left. So I'm not going to make that mistake this year. So we're doing the annual AAA gala, the charity gala, and it's not until September the 13th, which seems like a long way away, but it goes so fast now, and obviously I'll mention it next month. It's the Trocadero Arena in Marbella, and it is on September the 13th. And it's at 8 p.m. So anyone that's interested in that, you can go on our website, AAAMarbella.org, and you can have a look there, and that's the way that you'd be able to get the tickets.
Now, don't forget
to be brilliant.
Put that on Animal Talk as well, and send me a copy, because I can read any charitable
events.
But
it really will be really spectacular, because every time we have one, it's absolutely brilliant, although I didn't go last year. But again, you know, sometimes the time just flies by, and you know, even some of the staff couldn't go because I thought, I work there, so don't worry. You know, I'm a VIP. They're like, no, sorry. So yeah, it will be absolutely fantastic, and we'd love to see some people there. Beautiful food, brilliant. Entertainment and everything.
Okie dokie. Well, we need to take another advert break, but we will be right back.
The Lifestyle Show. Presented by Selena McKenzie.
Is that a capybara? What is it? A donkey?
No, it's another one.
Oh, you're getting
it. I got a new one.
It's a bear?
I'm not sure I've ever heard. It's a bear. I'm sure it's an alpaca. I don't know if you've had it.
It was an alpaca. This is a new one. We need to get Archie. We need to record Archie and put him on.
For sure.
That will be funny.
For sure. Yeah. Definitely. Right, some more emails. Sal in Estepona. We have just adopted a new puppy, and then she's put in brackets, well, it found us, really. Please, can your vet advise what vaccinations we need and when?
There is a whole vaccination protocol, which actually for puppies starts at 6 weeks, then 9 weeks, then 12 weeks, then 15 weeks.
So your vet will tell you, basically.
Exactly, yeah. And there is a European protocol on these vaccinations, not like they do in America. But in Europe, we have a very, very straightforward and effective protocol. For cats, it's the same thing. Yeah, a bit dependent also, when you find them or when you get them, how old they are. But anyway, even if you find an adult cat or adult dog, they need two sets of vaccinations with 3 weeks in between, and that's it.
Okay. And then things like worming as well.
Yeah, worming, defleeing, the microchip, of course.
Yes, very important.
Very obligatory.
Yeah.
Get an insurance. Yeah, a liability insurance for the dog.
Is that law?
Yeah.
So hope that helped, Sal, with your question. Yagoda, I don't know who this is. I haven't got your name. I'm not sure who you are, but it says it's for Yagoda. Very interested in the therapy. Could it help with my elderly dog's arthritis?
Oh, yes, that's for sure. Because I tried this. I can't heal that, I think. I am sure, actually. But I can help with ease the pain and lower the inflammation level with the arthritis. So it helps a lot. Because of the nervous system and the balancing of it.
Right. Do you work with the animals at their home? So they feel safe?
I'm doing home visits. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, other question. Does it matter where the arthrosis is? Is there, say, an area that is easier to work with than another or not?
No, because so we are working with fluids in the body. Mm-hmm. So this arthrosis can be, you know, in the legs, and I can work with the head or the opposite. It's because not every animal and human will let me touch when it's where the pain is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So sometimes I can't work with this spot, mm-hmm. pain spot. But I am working with the whole body and the fluids in the body.
Okay.
So that's easier.
Interesting, isn't
that? That is really interesting.
Yigaida was just saying she's worked in New Zealand with the horses. Wow. She's worked in Holland and England. Very,
fantastic.
Very interesting. Which one have I not done? Anna in Murcia. Should dogs have the run of the house when you go out? I'd like to let them, but wonder if they would prefer a smaller environment. Don't know who wants to answer that one.
There's not a correct answer for that, I don't
think. I don't think so either.
Depends on the dog.
Depends on the dog, background. Depends on your house, depends on your stuff. Mm. But I can say in general that all dogs that are crate trained find that crate very pleasant. Mm. It is their safe spot.
Yeah. Yeah, which makes a lot of sense, really. Yeah.
And like if for example, you know, if you've got a young dog that's quite playful, you don't want to be coming home to your sofa being eaten, or once we came home and the dog had eaten the stair carpet to, like, number 7, it was all... So, like, obviously you have to think about your house as well.
Yes. Yeah, not just
so
the dog.
It's not just the dog's welfare, it's also your furniture. So, obviously, it depends on the dog and the behaviour, I suppose, and the background of what they've been through. They might prefer to be in a crate, or they might prefer to be in a smaller room or something like that, as long as they've got their food and water.
Yeah. Well, Anna in Murcia, we want to know what your answer was. Yes. Try both ways and see which is best for you. Right, we've got emails coming through thick and fast, so I'm going to just read them out as they come. Again, no name, but the last digits of the WhatsApp are 87. We are thinking of spending more time in Spain and want to drive out with our cocker poodle. How easy is it, and are there new laws since Brexit?
Well, for one, the British European passport is not valid anymore.
Oh.
So you will be leaving the UK on an animal health certificate, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. which is 15, 16 pages long.
Oh, my gosh.
And you return on that health certificate. The costs vary a lot. I've heard from, say, £250 up to £400, depends a bit where you live and who does it. And upon your return to the UK, they have to be treated with a product against echinococcus, which is a worm, mm-hmm. and that has to be filled in on the date and a time in that health certificate.
Yeah, okay. That's very important, isn't it? Because you're not allowed to enter otherwise.
Yeah.
Is there a list somewhere or somewhere she can go to, like a website, to have a checklist of what she's going to need?
Government website.
gov.co.uk.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know how she's planning it, or he, I'm not sure. I know you can bring dogs on the boat because that's what I did, but is it true that the dog or the cat can have a plane seat now?
Not from the UK,
no. No, it's not a UK.
You can't fly flight lines.
No.
But I think it's only in the US at the moment.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I've seen it on Facebook and stuff, but no, not everywhere.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So whoever you are, last two digits 87, hope that helped. Kate in La Campana says, why is my dog constantly licking its dew claw?
Because it bothers him?
Yeah.
Could it be painful? Could it be itching?
Could be too long. Maybe there's a little crack in it.
Mm. Oh, you have to have them cut then?
Yep. Would have to have it looked at, yes.
You'd have to see your vet. So, Kate, the best thing is to go to see your vet about that. And Maya, from Arroyo de la Miel, can you help with introducing my 5-year-old dog to my 5-year-old grandchild? I'm not sure how to go about it. She's coming over for holiday, and I know that my dog is going to be jealous.
Oh, how used is the kid to dogs?
Yeah.
I don't know. If you can let us know how used to your granddaughter is to dogs, that would help us.
Yeah.
5-year-old. Yeah, just drop us a line and let us know. And whilst you're doing that, I'll carry on with Loretta, listening in the UK.
Hi, Loretta.
I've just inherited my mum's 14-year-old cat, and my cat is sick. I'm not sure if that's supposed to say that. They're not happy, so I've separated them with baby gates, but I don't know if it will work. I want to give them time, but I don't know if the time is going to work either. I can't give up either of them up, so I really have no idea what to do. Can Kay help?
Yes, so basically, when you're introducing cats generally, it doesn't matter what age they are, even from large cats with kittens and vice versa, or adult cats, it's always going to be difficult. But the problem is, not a lot of people, they don't wait long enough before introducing them. So what I would do is, in the beginning, for the first few weeks, I'm not sure how long they've already been together, but just completely separate them. And I normally put blankets and swap the blankets every few days so they can smell each other, and then gradually introduce. Now, what you've got to remember is you can't make them get on with each other. I don't like comparing animals to people because we're completely different, but it is the same as some people you just don't click with. You might not get on. Doesn't mean you're going to be unkind to them, but also to expect that, you know, they might not be the best of friends, but they can live independently in the house if you do everything the correct way. The first problem always is introduction too soon. So completely separate. The baby gates is a fantastic idea, but I wouldn't even be letting them come nose to nose or anything. I'd be letting them smell each other's scents first for quite a few weeks. I mean, sometimes it can be a few months because you don't want any problems. And once something happens, a fight or something like that, don't let it put you off because, you know, at the end of the day, they are animals and your cat's got, that's its territory. And obviously another cat's come along, so it is going to take time. So it can take up to 6 months, even longer. Wow. But it doesn't have to be as stressful. It's only as stressful if we push our stress onto the animals as well, so they pick up on that. If we're nervous when you see them close to each other, when you finally introduce them, they know that you're nervous and they're waiting for, oh, do we need to react? Because, you know, my owner, you know, is reacting this way and it's making me feel stressed. So you have to be very calm. The Feliway plugs, fantastic. The calming collars, fantastic.
What are the Feliway plugs?
Yeah, so basically it's a plug that you can plug in. For example, if they spread two in one apartment, for example, the size of a 2 to 3 bedroom apartment, you can get two plugs will cover all of it. So if you live in a house, you might need a few more. But what they do is this: they release Hormones. Yeah, that's what the plague is.
And then they mate.
The male hormone.
Yeah. No, hormones. And what they do is they make the cats feel very calm and that the territory is neutral because of the smell. And it really helps massively. Mm, yeah. And the collars are fantastic as well, the calming collars. They are really, really good. And I do find that they really, really help.
Yeah.
She's just come back and said, thank you, Kay, good advice. I will try them.
Yeah, just be patient. It's all about patience.
Now, the lady who, and I can't remember who it is because I've got rid of the original one, but apparently the little girl lives on a farm, so she's used to animals, and the dog's only a small terrier-type dog.
It's difficult because, you know, you don't want to advise something and if something happens.
Yeah,
you know?
It depends on the dog.
Yeah.
How the dog behaves anyway with children, because if he doesn't react well with children, then he won't react well with the granddaughter either.
Yeah. I know then, with my dog can be funny if new people come in. And the worst thing I can do is pick him up. So my advice will be just let them get on with it. Obviously, keep
positive
an eye
enforcement
on
enforcement.
Yes,
and don't leave them alone together.
Oh, definitely not. No,
but
sure.
Also maybe there are just times, probably when she's eating or something, that just put the dog away.
Yeah. Food is always a risk.
No,
absolutely. Oh crikey! I'm going to try and get these in. We're fast running out of time here. Val, I keep hearing conflicting stories about nutrition, and you just mentioned certain things on barbecues. Are avocados good or bad for dogs?
They're bad.
Does anybody know? They are bad.
Really?
Oh, new one on your go there. Wow, Val, they're bad.
OK.
Okay.
There you go. I must admit, I've seen this as well. People, I've seen a survey happen. Are they are or aren't they? Mm-hmm. What have they got in them that's bad then?
For one, the pip. Because it's so round and incredibly smooth, mm-hmm. it could just slip in the throat and get stuck. And there is honestly no way you can get that thing out.
Yeah.
And then there is a substance between the peel and the avocado.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, good to know. Good to know.
Also, they're not good for parrots either, I've learned.
Yeah.
They're actually really bad for parrots, yeah.
Yeah. Also because
of
that.
Very dangerous,
I mean, how?
And they're fattening, by the way.
Yes. Isn't it supposed to be good
we
fat?
We shouldn't
though?
Eat them too much either.
I know, but they are nice.
They are nice,
fat,
but nice.
Also, good fat is not good.
Yeah, good fat. Yeah, it's true. Right, two more. Let's see if we can get through these last two. I'm afraid we won't be able to take any more. Oh, one more, but maybe we won't be able to take any more WhatsApps or emails. Oh, no, I've done that one. Dewclaw. Not sure again who this is. On the barbecue eating, my dogs go nuts for Brussels sprouts. I assume they're okay for them.
Yeah, they might be a bit farty.
It's stinky.
Yeah.
Bit smelly.
Stinky, yeah, indeed. Wow, what a lot of questions. Let me just make sure I'm not missing any. Just bear with. No, okay, we need to take our final ad for a break. We will be right back.
Animal Talk.
Presented by Selena McKenzie.
It's not actually. It does sound like a donkey. In fact, they all sound like donkeys. But it wasn't. Any guesses, ladies?
Not sure.
That one.
It's not a capybara.
It's not a capybara.
I don't think we've had that one today. It's an otter.
Oh, the otter.
Otter.
Really?
There you go. It's not an otter. Right, one final story that George sent me this morning, and it's a really, really nice story. I've had to shorten it, George, but thank you very much. He said you want to read it out on your show. So, Ginger is the world's oldest lion, and apparently he's been reaccepted into a pride led by his sons after being overthrown and living solo for many, many years. Ginger's story isn't about his age, though. He was cast out of the pride and lived solo for years until one day he approached the pride of lions led by his sons. He arrived to them nearly blind, his teeth filed down by time, and his face filled with memories of his long life, and yet they accepted him back into their pride. He did this his time and earn their respect, which is one of the hardest things to come by in the animal kingdom.
Oh, that's nice.
Aww.
Doesn't say his age. I'd like to know how. Oh, 17. Apparently, they don't normally live past 10 lions, but he was 17.
It's a dangerous life, eh?
It is.
Isn't it just? Yeah. Blinking is a dangerous life. Right then, Yagoda, if anybody is interested, and I know one person was, about their arthritic dog, how can people get in touch with you? Do you have a website or a Facebook page?
Yes, I do. I do have a website in Polish and English, so I will give the English one. This is bodyandmindtherapy.pl from Poland, PL.
Body and mind,
mind therapy. It's all together. Body and mind therapy. PL, and there are my services and contact. I mostly it's WhatsApp. It's also email or my social media. That's okay.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Nazli van Linky, boom.
Yes.
You are a vet, Pointer Clinic Estepona. How can people get in touch with you?
Okay, 952-804165. Or email info@pointerclinic.com. And then we have Facebook and we have Instagram, and you'll find us.
Yeah, your Facebook's been busy recently. I've seen lots of things being posted. Yes, good. And Kay, AAA.
Yeah, everything that you need to find will be on AAAMarbella.org. So everything's on there, so you can go on and there's all the different sections of things that you might want to do. Volunteering, for example. You can apply to do volunteering, dog walking, cat cuddling. Everything's on there. So
you need
can
volunteers.
We always need looking for volunteers, especially for dog walking early in the mornings. I know I said it last time on the time before, but it's nice to get them out before it gets too hot.
Definitely.
So you can come from 7:30 in the morning. And we're always looking for cat cuddlers, which is nice, and to help with, you know, some of the maintenance of the cat house.
Yeah. If somebody's thinking, well, I'd quite like to adopt a cat, or I'd quite like to adopt Clyde or another dog, what's the procedure?
So what they'll do is they'll go on triplemabaya.org, And then you can go to adoptions, and then you can go through all the pictures and descriptions of the animals. And if there's one that you like, for example, I mean, there might be a few that you like, but if there's one you like, you click on it, and then it sends like an automatic message for us to contact you. And then we go from there, and there's obviously an adoption process. If it's with cats, you know, we need to, it's always good to come and meet us, meet the cats, and see which cat chooses you. And the same with dogs as well, and to make sure, obviously, the home's safe and you're ready for a dog and prepared for a dog. But always it's easier to, I always prefer people to meet the animals first as well, so you can organise an appointment through the website.
Yeah, good idea. What was it again?
AAAmarbella.org.
Brilliant. Yeah. Well, it's been a wonderful show, ladies. Give yourselves a round of applause. But for today's show, it's time for this.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you for your company. Hannah is next, and I'll be back with more lifestyles tomorrow. Playing out with an animal-related song, as we always do, this is The Boy Who Cried Wolf by the Star Council. Have a wonderful Tuesday afternoon. We won't be back with Animal Talk next month because it's August, so we're not going to bother. Just decided we weren't. No, difficult to get people in August. Everyone's away, but we'll be back in September.
As the rain comes down upon the sad, sweet earth, I lie awake at night and think about me. All those usual things, like what a fool I've been. I curse the awful way that I let you slip away. Yeah. What was fuzz in love is now cooling down, with only myself to blame for playing the stupid game. I know it.
Lifestyle Show.
Selena McKenzie.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.